We're going to get back into another session on this lesson that we've been doing on doctrine, which we'll be in for quite a while. So while this series is about doctrine and is primarily based on a word study of the word doctrine, it is all about fidelity to the words of God and also the Word of God, folks. That's what it's really all about. Doctrine is based upon the precepts and commandments of God as opposed to the precepts and commandments of men. If you look at Psalm 119, Psalm 119 is an amazing psalm. It's the longest chapter in your Bible. There's 176 verses in it. And it's referred to as the Word of God psalm. And you remember that the very first time that the word doctrine occurs in your Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it is defined as the words of God. That's what it's defined as. But if you look at Psalm 119, it's an amazing study in itself. I mean, you could get into it and preach out of it for a year and not even come anywhere near exhausting what's there. But what's interesting about Psalm 119 is the word, the phrase, thy precepts, occurs 21 times in the context of that psalm. And it's all talking about God's precepts, not precepts of men. And then also the phrase, thy commandments, in reference to the Lord's commandments, is used 21 times in Psalm 119. Isn't that amazing? And then the phrase, thy law, is used 23 times in Psalm 119. A lot of emphasis on the law, the commandments, and the precepts of God. We're not under the law any longer. But we are, if we're going to maintain fellowship with God, I'm not talking about relationship, because you don't establish relationship through the law. It's established through faith. But if you don't maintain the precepts of the Word of God, you don't be obedient to the laws of God, then you are going to harm your fellowship with God. You'll not be as, the Bible says for us to draw near to God. If you tolerate sin in your life, you're not going to draw near to God. Because if you're in open sin, God wants you to repent so that you can have that relationship restored back to Him. And when we get into the Word of God, it's all about Him, isn't it? It's all about His Word, about what He's commanded us to do. And this series we've been talking about false doctrine. False doctrine is rooted in the spiritual wickedness in high places that is under the control of the wiles of the devil. The Bible uses the phrase doctrines of devils, doesn't it? And that's very significant. False doctrine is an attack upon the Word of God and also upon God Himself. Because when you attack His Word, you are attacking Him, because the Bible is the Word. It is the Word. When it talks about God being manifest in the flesh, the Word was manifest in the flesh. God puts a lot of emphasis on the Word. And one of the issues that we run into is what men themselves believe. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Amen. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. There are things that you can believe and believe in all sincerity and be wrong in them. And a lot of those can be damning to your soul. And that particular proverb is quoted twice in your Bible. You also see it in Proverbs 14, 12. Right. So there are ways that seem right to us, and they're just not right. If they don't line up with the Bible, with a literal interpretation of the Bible, then you need to change your doctrine and have your doctrine line up with what the Bible has to say. And we're in a day today when things are where evil is being called good, and good is being called evil. It's everything just turned upon its head today, and that's the same case with doctrine. Bad doctrine, false doctrine, is being called good doctrine today. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, Beware of it, folks. But Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." There are so many people today that believe things that are contrary to the Word of God. But it's based in the wisdom of men or in the philosophies of men that Paul warned us about in the book of Colossians. We need to be in the Word of God. In that same chapter, in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, Isaiah 5, 12 through 15, it says this, "And the harp and the vial, the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feast." And here's the key in this one, "But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operations of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." Knowledge is doctrine, isn't it? Knowledge of the Word of God is doctrine. "And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore," this is why it's critical, folks, "therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled." If you have a haughty spirit, if you're lifted up in your spirit, you think you're something, you're going to be brought down. You got, we had a discussion in here last night. There's just too many preachers that didn't listen to what John the Baptist said, where he said that the Lord Jesus Christ must increase and I must decrease. There's too many people around today that have increased in their own eyes. And in doing it, folks, they're denying the Word of God. They're teaching for doctrines, the commandments and precepts of men. Another reason why a series is on doctrine, and doctrine is not being taught in churches anymore, even in independent Baptist churches. They are afraid of doctrine. Thank God that we're not afraid of doctrine here. Straight doctrine will affect your the way you worship too, folks. Because the Lord talks about that, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in this series. But one of the big issues is Hosea chapter 4, 6. Hosea 4, 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That's doctrine, folks. "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." So we see not only just the lack of knowledge, it's having the knowledge and rejecting it. And say, we will not hearken unto the Word of God. We will not do what the Word of God tells us to do. And it goes on to see that he says, "I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children." Your doctrine affects your children. Very important what you teach your children, and men are under the obligation. I know women end up doing it in most homes, but men are under the obligation to commit the Word of God to their sons and daughters. That's what we are commanded to teach them. But how many people do that? Very, very few, to our shame. And it shows up, folks. And there is a way to do doctrine. There is a way to teach doctrine. You can't be haphazard in it. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. And this is just kind of a short, medium-sized intro to this morning's lesson. Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13. "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go back and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. That's how we're to teach the Word of God. We're to teach it line upon line, precept upon precept. We're to build a foundation and then move on to that foundation. The book of Hebrews talks about people that have just gotten stuck where the foundation was laid and they've made no attempt to build upon it. And we see that in really part of that in Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to go and read that. Hebrews chapter 5, near the end of it, is going to be one of the themes of this study. Because it is all about the Word of God and about knowing the Word of God. Another passage of Scripture talking about attitudes, folks, about yielding to the Word of God, about our attitude toward the Word of God, is over in Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. Jeremiah 6, verse 15 through 17. It says this, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At that time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. And here it is again, folks. But they said, we will not hearken. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Once again, it's there. And what that is you see the man of God, he is the watchman that sat in the congregation, committing the word of God to the congregation, to the people that sit unto them, and they come back and say, we will not hearken. That, folks, is a presumptuous sin, and that's very, very dangerous to your spiritual life. After a while, it can become very, very dangerous to your life, period. Because there is a sin unto death that the Bible talks about. So, a lot of people that we see that are promoting false doctrine out there, there's some passages of Scripture that deal with a lot of those folks, but Jude 19, just a short verse there says, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. You've got people that are promoting false doctrine that have not the Spirit. And what does that mean? They are not saved. They do not have the indwelling Spirit of God. They're on their way to hell. Brother Aubrey. Well, Brother Aubrey, some of the people that are called out, the Bible gives a description of them saying that they are reproprate. And when we use it, and it's in the context of doctrine, and those that are reprobate means that they are unsaved. That's what that means. Now, can a saved person get off into false doctrine? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that may be the point that you're trying to make there. Just because somebody gets off into false doctrine does not necessarily mean that they're unsaved. However, if after having been rebuked twice and they refuse to forsake it, then there's a good possibility that they are. The Bible refers to them as an heretic. That's a phrase that's used with them. And those folks, I believe that most heretics are unsaved folks. And there's some folks that hold to doctrines that are heretical and also apostate. And I've always had a hard time pronouncing that word heretical. So it kind of twists my tongue up. I don't know if any of y'all have the same problem or not. But most people that will abide in false doctrine and stay there, even after rebuke, I have to believe that they're not saved, folks. That's I have to base that, my judgment of them, upon their conduct is what I have to do. So, and I realize that not all people that hold the false doctrine are unsaved. Okay, and then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2 verses 23 through 26 says this, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." Read it again. "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." I had a young man that I taught in Bible Institute that would, he was constantly looking for something to challenge you with. And folks, today, he is off into just about every false doctrine that you can think about. And I think he does a lot of it to people for effect. He does it to challenge the man of God. And the Bible says to avoid those questions like that. But because why? They gender strifes. And then verse 24 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." That's a charge given to pastors. It's a charge given to teachers also, folks. We've got to, a lot of times, teaching can teach you patience. Because if you don't do it, if you're not patient with people, you're not going to be an effective Bible teacher. Because the Bible talks about people that that oppose themselves, and here it is right here in this verse. It says, "In meekness," that's what I'm to be. I'm to be meek when I'm teaching. That's what a preacher is to be when he's teaching. He's to be meek. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of" who? "The devil. Who are taken captive by him at his will." And I've read a lot of stuff out of 2 Timothy so far in this series, and also 1 Timothy. And we're going to be in those books a lot when we start talking about doctrine. And I may even get into some more of that. Why is it important that we teach doctrine? The major reason it is important is because God commands it. But some of the other reasons that that God commands us to separate from false doctrine. I am not to have a Roman Catholic come up here, a Roman Catholic priest come up here and teach from this lectern. I am not to have an individual from out of the Mormon church to come up here into this and promote their false doctrine. I am not to have an independent Baptist preacher come up here who promotes the doctrines of Calvinism and have them to preach from this pulpit. So, we are commanded to separate from them. And let me just give you some. Romans 16:17 says to mark them that teach false doctrine and to avoid them. We're to mark them. That's not a pleasant thing, is it? When you do that, you're going to be made to pay a cost. What they're going to do, and this is one of my themes, I realize that they're going to look at you saying you're being a legalist and a Pharisee. Just because you abide by the Word of God. Now what is a Pharisee and a legalist? A legalist teaches that you got to work for your salvation. That's what they teach. And a Pharisee takes the doctrines and the commandments of men and teaches them as if they were the commandments of God. That's the difference between the two of them. But the Bible says that we're to mark them and to avoid them. I'm not to fellowship with Pentecostals. I'm not to fellowship with Methodists. I'm not to fellowship with the Anglicans. Are some of those folks saved? Absolutely, I believe that they are. But my Bible says that if they are in false doctrine, I'm to separate. That's not popular, folks, but that's what your Bible says to do. Romans 16:17 again, mark them and avoid them. And then one of the best passages in your Bible on separation is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 14 says, "There be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And it names out a whole line of other things there in that particular passage of Scripture. And then in verse 17 of that same passage, it says, come out from among them. Come out. Be ye separate. Come out. That's not what Mike Sutherland said. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
1 Timothy 6:5 says, withdraw thyself. Amen. Withdraw thyself. 2 Timothy 2:16, where it tells you to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says this in that passage. It says to shun those that won't do that. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, from such turn away, talking about those that hold false doctrine. And then in Titus 3:10, that passage that mentions heretics, it says to reject them, folks. That's what it says, reject them. And then 2 John 10 says, receive them not into your home, neither bid them Godspeed. They're out there pushing false doctrine. I've had Mormons, when I lived out by Crooked River, that I was out working in my garage, and when they showed up, I knew who they were. And I quoted that passage of Scripture to them. I said, I'm not even receive you into my house because of what you're promoting. That's, folks, when you do that stuff, you're going to take some heat for it. But if you don't do it, you may be pleasing to men, but you're in violation of the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, Brother Larry.
What if people are not saved and you want to win them to the Lord?
That's good. You can witness to them, yeah. But we're not to run in fellowship with them. That's the whole key. We're not to invite them into our home. Sister Davis. That's a different, that's a family situation. I look upon that as being different. Now, when... listen to this, folks. Listen to this. I do not believe that just because somebody is a Methodist or a Roman Catholic or a Presbyterian that they are not saved. I do not believe that. And folks, you cannot, when you start dealing with your family members, we're talking about... family is an entirely, is another God-ordained organization. Your family is a God-ordained organization.
Amen.
So when you start dealing with your family, you're talking about a different story than what I am, somebody that is just an acquaintance or somebody from outside this church. Brother Sean. You have to be able to communicate with them. That's the whole point. Now, I'll say it again. There are people in every denomination, every Christian denomination that I believe are saved. And let me say this about the Methodists. Some of the best preachers that have ever been in America during the Great Awakening were Methodist preachers. And folks, there was a time when they were solid on some things that, especially when dealing with the issues of preaching salvation and what have you. But there are some areas where we don't agree with the Methodists. Let's put it this way. We're Baptists, and if you're anything else, there are some areas where we're going to disagree with you. So, and that's just, and the reason I say that is this, folks. I'm a Baptist not because I believe all Baptists are absolutely right in their doctrine. I'm a Baptist because I believe that for the most part, Baptists in general hold to sound biblical doctrine. That's what they've been teaching, and that's the only reason. There are fundamentalist Bible-believing churches out there that are not called Baptists, that are just as fundamental as you and I are. Okay? I think they ought to call themselves Baptists, but that's... would I be able to fellowship with them? Absolutely. Because they're just as sound and fundamental as we are here, so... Say, how about looking at it dispensationally? Who was he talking to? He was talking to the Jew. And a thing you need to remember about your Bible when you go to study your Bible, you got to rightly divide it. You've got to know who it's being addressed to, what is being said, what the time period is, and you've got to be able to deal with that. But if I were to take that passage right there and not consider the rest of the Bible, then I could be in trouble with that. And that's why it's important that we rightly divide the word of truth. So it's very, very important. Now, today, we have people out there that are teaching, and they call themselves, and this is a label they put on themselves, Christian heathenist. Do you know what a heathenist is? It's somebody that lives for their flesh and does any and everything that they want to do. It ties into an old doctrine called antinomianism. And what antinomianism teaches, that's a theological term, it teaches that I can get saved and live like the devil, and I'm still okay. I'm here to tell you that's heresy, folks. If you get saved, there's going to be a change in it. And the individual that holds to this, that put this label on himself, is a famous independent Baptist preacher who is a Bible-correcting Baptist preacher who is a hyper-Calvinist. And that's John Piper. And they promote this sort of thing. And after all, folks, if you're going to be saved anyhow, why can't I live just like I want to live? Why can't I? That and that there's people out there that promote that. That's doctrine. That what they're doing is that's a false doctrine that they're supporting. That when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your heart, does it change your conduct? Are you under an obligation to be obedient to the commandments of God? Is it okay for you to lay around in sin? Is it okay for you to be a party animal? Is it okay for you to walk around cussing? Is it okay for you to dress any way you want to dress? No matter what it reveals. No, there's standards there, and God set them in His Word. And folks, if you're saved, I'm not going to, and I'm teaching you the Word of God like I ought to. I ought not have to beat you up about how you dress. And that's a scriptural fact, folks. It's not so much what I believe, but I believe it, folks, because it's there. I shouldn't have to beat you up. But a lot of independent Baptist preachers end up having to do that. They have to beat people up to get them to live right. And folks, if I've got to do that with you, if I were your pastor and I had to do that with you, after a while, that'd get very tiresome to me. And not only that, you would start hindering what God is trying to do. And we've got so many people in the independent Baptist movement now that are falling away. And when a man tries to preach the standards of the Word of God, tries to live them, and tries to get his congregation to do it, then they go after that man. He's a legalist and he's a Pharisee. And folks, I'm here to tell you that people that do that are in trouble with God. It is false doctrine. And it's going to hinder the worship of that church. You let that go far enough, and I'll guarantee you, eventually there'll be Ichabod written over that door, and the Holy Ghost will be the one that pops it up there as he leaves that church. It is important how you live. You cannot live a hedonistic lifestyle or an antinomian lifestyle is a theological term for it. And by the way, that term antinomianism came from out of the Nicolaitans. Y'all know who the Nicolaitans are? Out of the book of Revelation. It initiated with a sect out of that particular group of people. Brother Darnell.
Yeah, but I was thinking that sometimes I can't go to hell if I want to.
Wrong.
Amen.
And the reason that's wrong, you can't get saved and live the way you want to, folks. Because what that is that's evidence that you have not repented. Amen. If you have not repented, you're still on your way to hell.
Amen.
You cannot get saved and continue to live exactly like you want to live.
Amen.
God is not in that. And God is not in you when you do that either. When you do that, you outright reject the Word of God. And that's just as plain and simple as it can get. And that's what we're talking about, the Word of God, doctrine. And holiness, folks, is a doctrine. I said this a few weeks ago, but that word holiness and all the words, the separation and all that that relate to it, you know they're mentioned over 1,000 times in your Bible in 996 verses that deal with the issue of holiness, God's holiness and the required holiness that you're to have. That's real important, folks. And if you want to have a right fellowship with the Lord, you're going to put the sin out of your life. That is incumbent upon you. It's in your ball court to do it. You can't blame somebody else for your sin. If you sin, you're sinning against God, period. So, and you may sin against somebody else in the process, but when you do sin, you're sinning against God, and you need to repent and get that straight with Him to restore that fellowship. Last week, I got just a few minutes left here. I said that was going to be a brief introduction, and I guess it turned into a little bit more than that. And that's okay. That's good. That's good. We need to discuss things. And there's if there's things that we don't understand, and folks, there's a lot I don't, then we need to discuss it in the context of what the Bible has to say about it. We need to rightly divide it. And folks, you're not going to rightly divide it if you don't read it. But Brother Leo was here last night, and something was said about the King James Bible, and he said, if you don't read it, it's just a book. That's what Brother Leo said, and that's very, very true. It's just a book if you don't read it. Because if you don't take it and read it and study it and apply it to your life, it's just a book, folks. You can say you believe in the King James all you want to, but if you don't abide by its precepts, you don't know what its precepts are, then it's just a book. And that some folks might think that's ugly, but that's all it is to you. It's just a book. It's not important enough to you to obey it. Okay, a study of doctrine is required, folks, of all believers, okay? We've hit that, but I'm going to go and look at it here again. I think we got enough time to cover it. This is item number 3. Remember I said there were at least seven reasons why we ought to study doctrine. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 11 through 14. You'll see this passage of Scripture probably 3 or 4 more times in this study. And we went a few minutes ago and read out of Isaiah chapter 28. And this particular passage in the book of Hebrews, I think Paul had this in mind when the Holy Ghost had him to record Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. Verse 11 in that chapter says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. And that's what I'm trying to give out here is strong meat, folks. That's what I'm trying to give you. It says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Are you growing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you taking that Bible when you get home and taking it and throwing it on the couch or throwing it on the coffee table and not looking at it until the next Wednesday night you're in church or the next Sunday when you're in church? Is that what you're doing? But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That is another very important reason to study the Word of God. It gives you spiritual discernment, doesn't it? And that's not to say, folks, that you cannot be deceived. Because, folks, I have recently been deceived. Because there were some things I believed about an individual, and as it turns out, they may not be true. But that's not because I haven't studied the Bible. But people are very good at hiding themselves. They're very good at it. What does the Bible say? Me and Brother Darnell were talking before Sunday school got underway about those that will show up and say, have we not done good things? Blah, blah, blah. Now, and on the surface, You would have thought, you and I would have thought that those people were saved. But they've done all the religious works. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ say at the great white throne judgment? Get out of my sight, for I never knew you. So you can be full of works. You can be a whited sepulcher and be full of dead men's bones on the inside. And unfortunately, that's the way most professing Christians are today. They're whited sepulchers. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You're to be ready. That's another reason why you ought to be studying doctrine. You are a believer. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, and you need to be studying the Word of God. What I would wonder is how many of those in our modern churches who are unlearned in doctrine, particularly in the doctrine of salvation, would find themselves stuttering if asked to give a testimony to a lost person of how and when they were saved. How many of you can do that, folks? You ought to be able to do it. You ought to be able. Most professing Christians today know very little Bible. Most Christians today cannot tell a lost person from the Bible how to get saved. Many of those who do have witness have can plans that do not rely upon the conviction of the Holy Ghost. The Romans Road and the John's Road. Those are good things to know, folks. But the Holy Ghost has got to be in it. Because the Holy Ghost has got to do the work. You're not going to sell them anything that's worth any eternal value. Don't get me wrong, folks. There's a number of canned plans that people have that work sometimes. But you as an individual need to know your Bible well enough to know that when the devil throws a stumbling block into the middle of the road to salvation, that you will be able to address that particular objection that he puts up there in the terms of what Scripture has to say about it. How many times have you heard people say that they're too sinful to be saved? Or I've done this and I can't be saved. How do you answer all that? And I have a course somewhere that addresses most of the typical objections that you get when you're dealing with people in salvation. And some of them will amaze you, folks. But you as a Christian need to know enough about your Bible to be able to deal with those. Because after all, we're talking about their eternal destiny is what we were talking about. And we need to be able to deal with that. We have a responsibility before God to be able to do that. Now, I realize that not all people can be preachers, not all people can be teachers, and not all people can be evangelists. But you do have a witness, folks. There is a witness. If you're saved, there is the witness of the Spirit dwelling within you permanently. Now, the devil also has many wicked ways to reach out and turn off the light of the glorious gospel. He'll build up those walls, won't he? And we see it happen all the time. You, as a Christian, need to be prepared. And folks, part of your preparation needs to be holiness. You need to be holy and sanctified. How many of you are? Don't raise your hands. How many of you have done something that grieved the Holy Ghost that would hinder your witness? We all do, folks. We need to be constantly aware that people are watching us. You can talk all day long, but you better be walking. You need to be holy and sanctified. You need to be prayed up. And you need to be ready to respond to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to go where the Holy Ghost has taken you. Because he'll go before you. I've seen it happen, folks, and I've had enough confrontations, folks, and I just want you to be ready, not just from a biblical standpoint of view, from knowing the Scriptures, but applying them to your life to be a witness and to hold up doctrine. Yes, Sister Lori.
Well,
Yeah. But you need to be able to witness to him. And you need to keep that door open. And what Brother Albee read out of Matthew chapter 10 a while ago, there is an application for that. Is you're going to get resistance from your family. And most of the time, folks, believe it or not, that's where you're going to get the strongest resistance. And by the way, they can cut you. They can cut you through the heart, is what they can do. Your loved ones, your family can do that. So there is an application of that. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Folks, sound doctrine is either going to drive them or draw them. That's what it's going to do. And if you've got lost loved ones, it's going to drive. There's going to be a wedge there. There's going to be some pain in it for you, and yet that you have to deal with there too. So, Brother Albee. And I don't either, brother. I don't have all the answers. So, we've got to close down here. We're out of time here this morning. So, thank y'all for listening. This next week we're going to talk about that doctrine is necessary for the protection of the church. Okay.